Our next session is going to be on AI. Do you want to sit or stand or what?
I'll sit.
Okay.
I'm lazy.
Well, this is the last presentation on a Friday afternoon, so you're
right.
So it's going to be on AI, friend or foe, and I'm really interested to hear this because I have nightmares at night about AI. So I just lost your bio, Daniel. You are with Pillsbury, right?
Yes.
Ah, there we go. I got it. So Daniel is an attorney with Pillsbury, Winthrop Shaw and Pittman, and he's a member of Pillsbury's FinTech Payments and Blockchain team and the Cybersecurity Data Protection and Privacy team. Prior to joining Pillsbury, he was an assistant general counsel of the Texas Department of Banking. Daniel's practice focuses on regulatory and compliance issues relating to financial services, as well as consumer protection and privacy matters. So this is very important. Pay attention. This is your 1 hour of ethics.
Right. I'm in the unenviable position of being between you and the door, but I have the ethics credit. So I'll say from the outset that please feel free to interrupt, pose questions, make comments, throw things at me. It's a more interesting presentation when it's not just a lecture. So this is sort of my thesis, is really don't be afraid. Use common sense, and there are weaknesses you need to know about, but AI is here. Without knowing it, you've probably been using it for years. And it can be a useful tool, especially to lawyers. Rough agenda. I'm not going to read it to you because you're about to experience it. For me, when I first started getting into the topic of AI, which is not a focus of my practice, I'm just sort of a nerd who likes weird things. I had to stop thinking of AI in terms of what I saw in the movies. It's not Skynet from the Terminator. It's not HAL 9000. It's this definition I find helpful because it's just basically another form of automation. Automating certain processes that our brains already do intrinsically without us being conscious of it. Learning, reasoning, and so forth, and how you break that down into little steps and enable a computer to do that. Now, I threw in the definition of heuristics here because this is also, for ethical purposes, sort of a core concept I want you all to keep in mind. All right. The term heuristic, the definition I put up here, is old. It's from cognitive science. I want you to focus on that phrase, good enough. It's sort of like what we call a rule of thumb. So like an example of a heuristic is, I know almost nothing about wine. When I'm going to a dinner party, I will go buy a $20 bottle of wine. And my thinking is, a $10 bottle of wine has a pretty good chance of being crappy. A $20 bottle of wine probably isn't, but it's a good balance between spending too much and, you know, you kind of get what you pay for, right? So I don't have to think about it. I just choose whichever label looks coolest. And if it's 20 bucks, I trust that it's probably not going to make anybody gag. That's a good enough sort of cognitive shortcut. I don't have to know anything about wine. I don't have to read the labels or do analysis. About 80 to 90% of the time, I'm probably safe, right? So how we get to that is usually through trial and error, experience, human experience. I've bought enough $10 bottles of wine to know that sometimes they really suck. And in computer science terms, a heuristic is basically like a problem-solving process using trial and error. They've been around forever. Antivirus and spam filters, this software uses and relies on heuristics. For instance, your spam filter in email, the more you tag things as either not spam or spam, the better it learns. And then it just uses these rules of thumb. Like if the return address is a really long string of incomprehensible characters, it might be spam, right? It's not always true, but it's a pretty good enough process, right? Generative AI and a lot of AI tools both rely on heuristics and, as used by us, should be considered heuristics.